Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like
welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive, and we're glad you're tuned in. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Richard. How are you?
I am abundantly blessed, walking in the Spirit, loving the Lord, praising Him. We said on the last hour at the prayer meeting, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise the Lord. And I think we have Pastor Cox with us, don't we? Good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard and Brother Ralph. Hello from Oklahoma again.
Well, good evening, Pastor.
And Ralph, I'll turn it over to you. I'm here. I'll let you know when we have our callers, brother. And I'll be listening
in. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Pastor, another glorious day the Lord has given us. Amen.
Amen. I'll bet it was beautiful there in Missouri. It certainly was here in Oklahoma today.
Yes, yes it is. I wanted to touch on something before we get started. You might be able to expand on this. It seems as I read the Bible, deliverance just pops out more and more, the teachings about it. But 2 Corinthians 5-12, I was reading it last night, and it sounded like to me that Paul is teaching the door-closing prayer, especially on forgiveness, and I pointed it out to another brother in Christ, and he looked it up in the Contemporary English Version. And I want to read this in that version, and feel free to expound on this. You're probably familiar with these scriptures. But the title of it in the Contemporary English Version is Forgiveness. starting with verse 5. I don't want to be hard on you, but if one of you has made someone feel bad, I'm really not the one who has been made to feel bad. Some of you are the ones. Most of you have already pointed out the wrong that the person did, and that is punished enough for what was done. When people sin, you should forgive and comfort them, so they won't give up in despair. You should make them sure of your love for them. I also wrote because I wanted to test you and find out if you would follow my instructions. I will forgive anyone you forgive. Yes, for your sake, and with the Christ as Christ is my witness, I have forgiven whatever needed to be forgiven. I have done this to keep Satan from getting the better of us. We all know what goes on in his mind. In the New American Standard, it goes right into it. In 11, it says, take no advantage, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. But when that version was pointed out to me, it just really popped out. It sounds like Paul was teaching that if you don't forgive, Satan's got a hold of you.
Absolutely. And, of course, there's many scriptures throughout the New Testament along these lines that we are to forgive, and we're only hurting ourselves. And that theme runs throughout, especially that one that I often quote is Matthew 18:34-35 in the King James, where Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you'll be turned to the tormentors. And there's other scriptures that just along what you like what you quoted, that we give place to the devil when we don't forgive. And so what I tell the people when they've come for ministry and we're talking about this, I try to get it across. Hey, it's not worth it to carry unforgiveness and allow the tormentors to be in your lives. And what are tormentors? Well, of course, most people, they're marking on their clipboard a two-page grouping of problem areas, but in there like fear, panic attacks, anger and rage and violence, depression, and of course infirmities. And we've seen that over and over, that people so often had deep-rooted bitterness early in their life even, and it festered all those years, finally resulting in cancer and lupus and other major diseases. And I've seen people healed when they finally would forgive. And it's quite clear. And, of course, you know, we do that limb check, which I first learned 39 years ago, the church I started going to, Full Gospel Church. And when people had back problems, they'd always sit them down in a chair and hold up their shoes and looking at their heels. And it would be obvious that many times that one leg is shorter than the other. And all the person would normally do, the minister, would be to say, in Jesus' name, adjust, and any pain, go. And out comes the short leg. Same with the short arm when they're standing up holding their arm straight out. But I've also seen them not adjust on occasion. And if this doesn't bring that point home, I mean, it sure hit us between the eyes. Because if the leg does not grow out, or the arm adjust out rather, at that point, then what you need to say to them, who else do you need to forgive? And they may stumble around and finally come up though with some other names, and as they name those people off that they forgive that person now, even bless them, out comes a short leg. And so, I mean, that's quite obvious that the unforgiveness was blocking the healing. Well, what else will it block? Well, it'll block a healing of cancer and what have you out there. So it's major, major. And when people are seeking healing, you know, I've often wondered, why don't they work on the unforgiveness first and clear that out, including forgiving themselves? And then they're going to have every possibility of the healing the physical healing coming forth.
Well, I know that in my life that I thought I was really practicing forgiveness until I started studying into it and realized that there was a lot of things that I hadn't forgiven. And it seems to be the more and more that I, the Holy Spirit brings things to my mind, I work on it, get the forgiveness out, just how much more the word just seems to pop out at me. And we know forgiveness is a major theme in Scripture, but we always think about the forgiveness of God, but He commands us to be just as Him and to forgive our brothers in Christ and forgive those around us that have wronged us, and we have a tendency to want to hold it against them to kind of teach them a lesson. But it sounds like to me in this teaching that Paul gave to the Church, Corinthian Church, he says, you don't need to do that. They've already had enough punishment. Let them go. And don't keep them in that bondage anymore, because that's what it does. It keeps you in bondage.
Yes. Very, very true. Yeah, if only the body of Christ would get hold of that, how important it is to forgive. I didn't realize how major it was for a number of years, and it's kind of overlooked in the body of Christ. You don't see a lot of teachings on it, considering, so I guess that's why we're on the radio here talking about it.
Amen. Anything happened this Monday that comes to mind you want to talk about?
Well, we only had 7 cases. We had 21 the Monday before. We had a minister for each in both situations. I ministered to a man that drove 14 hours from Minnesota for our Monday night session. And so after the teaching and everything, then I had marked myself down to work with him. I tend to want to do that when somebody comes that far. And, of course, I told him right off that he had clearly met the requirement for reaching out. If you drive 14 hours, and by yourself even, you're definitely reaching out. And sure enough, it was just a beautiful evening of ministry. He had some inner healing needs, of course, ungodly soul ties, as we always find. And in the inner healing, he could hear Jesus speaking to him and pointing out lies that he'd bought into, and as Jesus brought him truth and pointed out those lies. And it made a huge impact on him because, you know, the enemy's very professional at lying into our heads. Negative kinds of things, and we find that constantly. I wasn't able to get the head demon up in this man. That only works in about 1 out of 3 or 4. But I was able to just do basic deliverance. And he yawned, and mostly coughing, though. Yeah, he coughed big time, and filled a waste basket with tissue that we had handy there, and obviously things were happening and things were coming out, because when he finally quit coughing, then it was pretty clear the spirit had come out that we were addressing. And we went through, well, there was no way to really count them all, but certainly a minimum of 3 dozen. It was 3 dozen plus. Well, at the end, there was a trainee sitting in with me watching all this, and it was quite clear that he started looking different. And that's so common. Sometimes people look younger. In fact, I think he did as well. But he looked like a whole nother person. And that's that's the exciting part of doing this kind of thing. And it's still so amazing that Jesus has entrusted us with the power in His name to speak in His name, and to see these deliverances take place, casting out of evil spirits, and see healing come. It's a very fulfilling thing to all of us that God will use us. Well, He'll use any Christian that will simply yield to it and ask the Lord to guide them. And Jesus commanded all believers to do what we're talking about. It isn't just a gift thing. It's normal Christianity. All Christians can do this, and that's what we need to be seeing, because the need is much.
Amen, it is. And you don't need to drive 14 hours to get deliverance. You can use the website that's out there, deliveranceusa.com, which has all the tools that are available there for self-deliverance. Certainly they won't turn you away if you do go 14 miles, but praise God, a man felt the call to do that and was there and got there and got free and probably felt like $1 million on the way home. Also, you can get a hold of the book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus that is written by Pastor Cox, which can be available at Scriptures for America. And so it's not necessary to have to make that major, major trip, that major sacrifice. But if you do, ministers are there to help you.
Amen. Amen. So we'll just keep going forward. We haven't really worked our way out of Oklahoma County here, but people do come from all over. And, of course, we never will work our way. Being facetious, but we're doing what we can do, and people see the website and call in and all that. And it's
so are you saying you're not ready to make it a traveling road show?
Well, we could.
With
the teams as we have, they're all here in Oklahoma City, so it's much easier if we have people come here, so that, like the week before, we had 21 cases and 21 ministers. It was one-on-one for all of them, so that was unusually higher than what we normally do, which is usually around a dozen. Here we only did 7 this Monday. But and we certainly had plenty of ministers. Some of them doubled up on those 7 that we had.
Well, that's good sometimes, because it allows 2 people to work, and it lets kind of a little bit more discernment, to be able to discern that something's going on, that the other minister who may be following the steps in the process may be concentrating on the basics. And then, of course, the other ministers allowed to discern and be able to see some things. I know that I've witnessed that, and sitting in with other people for deliverance in my train, I was able to discern, and I've also seen it where 2 ministers were together, and one of them was able to discern something, and they were able to come against that spirit and get it out, because the other minister wasn't able to see it.
Yeah, that often works, and some people have the really good gift of discernment. I mean, they can pick up on the names of the spirits that are there, and if they have a legal right to be there yet, and that kind of thing.
Okay. So, well, we have our first caller on the air. Jason, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, thank you for joining us tonight, Jason.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Oh, we're blessed. How about you out there in Grand Junction, isn't it?
Yeah, it's over by Grand Junction. I'm blessed and highly favored.
And you might back away from the phone a little bit there, Jason. Many times when one speaks too loud or too close to the phone, it'll kind of distort. So you might just back off or not talk as loud, and it'll come through more clear. Well, Jason, if you could share on how you learned about this works of Jesus called deliverance, and then what you're comfortable in sharing.
Okay. I had a brother named Thomas Clark. He was telling me about your ministry that you had when I was going through some things. And he's a brother that I met over 11 years ago, and off and on that I've known of him. But I was going through some things with myself with my family. That was definitely was wrong. I couldn't figure out what was going on with me, that I was just couldn't be who I was supposed to be for God. I couldn't be who I was supposed to be for my family. I couldn't be happy. I just couldn't be like I was designed to be, how God made me to be, because of the things that I basically went through in my life and allowed to come into my life. I let a lot of things in my life. Part of it wasn't just myself. Part of it, things just kind of happened, and the enemy himself will use certain things to bring himself into your life. Whether if it's things that's happened to you as a child that you may not have known, that was there, but you didn't know no better because you was a child, and being forced to do things that you wasn't supposed to do that wasn't honoring to God, all the way down through the point of doing things as a child to maybe entice your parents to basically stop doing things. I just let a lot of things in my life, and then I also sat there and had my mom pass away when I was 13 years old. And at that point in time, when I was 13, I was always praying for my mom. I was about 12 and a half, 13 at that point. I always prayed for my mom because she was diagnosed with cancer, and she ended up passing away from cancer. I always prayed for my mom because I knew she was going through that point in time, and I was always raised in a godly home, from my grandparents to my mom and my dad. But I've seen a lot of things go through, and life just happened. And as you sit there and go through your life, you never know what can attach yourself. You never know what could be waiting around the corner. Unforgiveness waits around the corner every day that you look at life. You can come up with unforgiveness as driving down the road. You can come up with unforgiveness in many different ways, not just one way or the other. It's just there. But I went through a dark time of my life that I would, after my mom passed away, I was really resentful to God. I was really unhappy because I was praying that she would be healed, because I didn't know no better. I was a child, never got taught. No one took the time to see where I was at or even talk to me about it, even through my grandparents, because they were going through their grieving of losing their daughter. And Dad is going through his grieving of losing his wife. So during that dark time of my life, I've seen basically the pit of hell himself. I went down and was just as bad as him himself for the things that I've done in my life. I basically turned from God for a while until I met my wife. My wife was bringing me back. After meeting my wife, which is a blessing from God and can only be God's intervention and how I even met her, that started to help me go through a lot of my life. But there's always an open hole. There was always a hole that I was trying to fill, this hole that could never be filled by anybody or by anything. The only person that could fill that hole is Jesus. But the only way that hole could have been completely filled is by shutting all the doors down, by going through all my garbage, going through the muck, as I would call it, by going through the muck and going through all of it, I was able to see the love of God, to have him fill them whole. And Everett helped me go through the muck. Everett Ministry sat there and helped me. Helped me find God. Helped me get released. Helped me to find forgiveness. And to find the true forgiveness of God. I had a controlling spirit. I had Jezebel itself living in me, controlling my thoughts, controlling just everything in my life, what I would think, trying to control my family, trying to control my wife. Just any mind of control that you could find, it was there. And he had 32 other friends with him.
Yeah, how did you know you had that many? How did you know you had that many spirits and Jezebel? How did you know that? You might share that.
Yep. How I known that is by Everett, as he was going through, and as going through the deliverance, he was able to get a hold of Jezebel himself. He called forth the head demon. He called forth the head demon to come upstairs and to show himself, to reveal himself. As we was going, as Everett called him forth, he sat there and done a lot of. He wouldn't talk. And then when he did talk, he would laugh.
This was right through your mouth.
This was coming right out of my mouth. And my brain would look.
Yeah.
My little brain would look and say, why would you be laughing at this man? Why would you be talking like that out of your mouth and looking at this man? And the demon itself was talking through my mouth and was going through and telling, as Everett was talking with him, he would ask him what kind of lies you've been telling this man. And he had a list of lies that it told, and that I knew was true by the word of God, because God would never be that way. Not good enough.
And you were hearing those lies.
He had in my life.
Or you were hearing those lies, weren't you, in your head over a period of time?
In my body. It would just come up and tell me, just like when you hear God. It would just come out and tell you. It sounds real. It sounds like yourself. It sounds like a spirit, because it is a spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit, but it's a spirit. Because there's two different spirits.
Yes.
There's the Holy Spirit, and then there's the demonic spirit.
Yes. And they're not in your spirit, man, but they're hanging out in the body and working your vocal cords and tormenting the soul area, mind, will, emotions.
Yep, it can control all those things.
So go right ahead. So how did?
Go ahead.
Go ahead and share the rest of. We got about 5 minutes left until the next caller. So, what else seemed to happen? That you can recall.
Well, as we was going through the lies, Everett called forth my gift. He told him to go up and see what's stored in the heavens for me, my gifts, my callings on my life. And the one that sticks out the most, the one that I know that that is, all of these are real and is true in my life. But the one is, everybody can speak things into fruition, but he said speak things into position.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
And position is in its position. It's not just in fruition. Fruition, we can speak in our mouth good and evil. We give power to good and evil. We can speak good into our life and bad into our life. We can think good into our life. We can think bad into our life.
Yeah.
So even when I came home, I still have this paper sitting right here in front of me with every book in my Bible. As I went through, and after Everett had this Jezebel spirit speak these things out, when that spirit left me and 32 others of his friends, because of closing all the doors, by going through a closing prayer, by enclosing him where he could be found, and make him surrender underneath God, underneath the authority, in Mark chapter 10, verse 19. That verse sticks in my life, and I stand on that verse every day. And I had to stand on that verse for me to even come home. Because when I left, and that spirit left out of me, it left. When I went down there, I went down there for me to get rid of whatever didn't belong in my body. Because I knew there was something there that didn't belong. I wanted cleaned out. I was willing to go all the way from Colorado down there because I no longer wanted to live this way. I wanted a total transformation change in my life because I knew that there was something here hindering my marriage, hindering my life, hindering me moving forward in what God wanted me to do, hindering my wife for her to move into the next level that God called her into doing. People don't realize that having these little things can hold you up. Can hold that calling for you to move forward in your life and what God wants you to do, because he's sitting there waiting for you. He didn't leave. He didn't go anywhere. He's waiting on you. He's waiting for you to get rid of everything that's in you, for he can feel it. And there ain't any other person that can feel it in this world, any other thing that can feel it in this world besides him, Jesus himself. He's the only one that can feel it to the full potential. And as long as we call on him and we listen to the true voice, the voice of the truth and what he tells us, as it says in the word, we can move forth in our life.
Amen.
We can set
and you reached
out,
and
as long as we're willing to die to ourselves.
You reached out, Jason, and you found, and it sounds to me like you got a real Jesus overhaul. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm so thankful for Everett's ministry. I know I'm called to go in that direction because I was very coherent on knowing what went on. God has showed me time in and time out why I was so coherent, because there's a lot of people that's not, and I could understand what was going on. God showed me. The Holy Spirit was showing me what was going on. And it comes back to a test.
Praise God.
It comes back to test you to see where you stand. And it's had to
you've learned
back.
How much power. You know how much power you have now in Jesus' name.
Exactly.
Amen.
Amen. That's why you got
all
you have in the Bible. To stand on his word, to stand on his power. By And what well, I was also shown that I haven't been able to share with you yet, Everett, you cannot have...
Thanks, Jason.
Go ahead.
Jason, we do appreciate your testimony. We appreciate you taking the time out of your evening and coming on here and giving us encouraging words of your deliverance. But we have our next caller on the line, so I do thank
yes,
you
sir.
For calling in. I thank you for just your time, and God bless you, brother, and have a fantastic
evening. God bless you guys.
Thank you, Jason. God bless you.
God bless you, Everett.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Elizabeth, are you there?
I am here. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for calling in.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
I'm
Elizabeth.
Excited to have this time with you guys tonight.
Yes, and excited you're on with us. I know you have an exciting testimony to share, but you might just tell first how you first learned about this works of Jesus, the practicality of it, and then anything that you've personally experienced that you're comfortable in sharing.
Absolutely, I would love to. Well, I've known Jesus since I was a little girl. I gave my heart to him when I was about 4, and I think I first started hearing about the reality of deliverance as being a part of what Jesus bought for us on the cross when I was in my late teens, and I was right off the bat, it really grabbed something in my heart, and so I've believed in the importance of it pretty much my whole life, my whole adult life, and I just really, I feel like it's really interesting timing to get to share about this tonight, just being that it's Holy Week and we're in the process of remembering everything that Jesus did for us on the cross and how much he bought for us in the way of healing and deliverance. And so it's actually something I'm really passionate about, and my husband and I are in the ministry, and so we get to see people experience deliverance often. But what my particular perspective is that there's a lot of people even in the ministry that are really in need of deliverance and greater healing and freedom, and that's my situation. That is that has been the case for me, and it's been an ongoing learning process of really understanding everything that Jesus really died for me to have. Even though I've known him my whole life, I think there are other believers out there like me that we're learning, you know, our eyes are being opened to everything that he really bought for us. And so, anyway, that's kind of what my journey has been like. And I've always loved the Lord, but I kind of hit a wall in the last couple of weeks. It's been building over the last year, and I just know that sometimes as the Lord is, as we're walking with him and going deeper, he sees that we're ready for another level of healing and freedom. And so that's what I feel like has happened for me, is he's put his finger on some other areas that I haven't had fully in the light, that I've been living under a heavy weight and I just really haven't had freedom in, because the enemy had some territory in my life. He had some room to work, and some of it I was aware of, and some of it I wasn't even aware of. And so that's what led me to make an appointment for some deliverance last week. For me, a couple of the things that I was really struggling with when I came in were a real heavy-heartedness. Some days it felt like depression. Some days it felt like just condemnation, like I was this horrible person and unworthy and I would never be good enough and things wouldn't change. And normally when I'm not listening to the enemy, I know that those things are not true and I can fight them off. But I had been under such a heavy weight that it was almost like I was in a fog. And so when those thoughts would come, rather than fight them off with the Word of God or in prayer, it was like I just laid down and let them take over. And anyway, it became very heavy. And I hit a wall about 2 weeks ago or so, and that was what led me to make the appointment. So that's how I ended up there
okay.
in the office. Do you want me to go ahead and share about the appointment, or do you have other thoughts you would like to?
Sure. No,
okay.
No, go ahead. You're doing great,
okay.
Elizabeth. Just
okay.
Kind of
so,
share.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm excited to share. So, you know, Jesus is so wonderful. He just is so faithful and so passionate about, I think, healing us and freeing us from things. And that's one of the things I love about him the most, actually. And so I came in really expectant that he was going to meet with me, and he really did. He's just so faithful. And even Everett had given me some suggestions and some instructions the week before about, you know, just taking some time in prayer to ask the Lord to show me if there were any, you know, open doors in my life, anybody I needed to still forgive. And throughout the week, he brought to mind a couple of different people that I didn't even realize that I was holding some unforgiveness against, people that I had been hurt, that had hurt me. And I didn't think I wished them any, you know, ill harm. I just sort of had forgotten about it and pushed it under the table kind of thing unintentionally. And the Lord brought their faces back to my mind. And so at that point, then I chose to forgive them. And what was really interesting to me and really surprising was that the third or fourth person he brought to my mind, and this was just a day or two before I went in for the deliverance, was actually that he was telling me I was holding unforgiveness against myself about some things that I had let myself down on. I had failed myself. And I was holding that against myself, punishing myself, and not realizing that, number one, that's what I was doing, and number two, that can actually open a door for the enemy to harass me or to harass someone. You know, if we have unforgiveness even toward ourselves, and so that was a real eye opener when the Holy Spirit showed me that, and that was something that Everett had wanted me to make sure that I was asking the Holy Spirit about too, is, you know, don't forget, this can be an open door. And so, so anyway, that had happened kind of prior to the session, and then also I think that was pretty much the prep work before coming in, and then even before we did any direct deliverance work, the Lord was just there in such a powerful way with his healing presence and with just a hand to liberate me from some of the weights I had been carrying. And some of that was unforgiveness. Some of that was some ungodly soul ties I had with some of the closest people in my life. Some of that was just feelings that had built up over the years that I didn't realize I still needed healing in. And so as we went through the process of closing any open doors that I had either intentionally or unintentionally opened to the enemy, mostly unintentionally, I believe, but as we went through that process, I, even in that, really was touched by the Lord. I was able to surrender some things, surrender some feelings, some just a lot of emotions, a lot of pain. And as I did that, one time in particular, I had a very physical response from the Lord. I just felt this very warm healing heat. And it started in my head and it went right down throughout my whole body. And it was just so sweet. It was such a release of some things. And it was like at the same moment as I gave over those feelings and those hurts to the Lord and trusted him to take them from me, at that very same moment, his healing presence was just right there flooding in. Almost like he was just, you know, sitting on the edge of his chair waiting for me to say that. Like, oh, finally, you know, she's brought this to me, and now I can just pour out this healing on her that I've been wanting to give her forever. And I just feel like that is his heart toward us, and I love that about him so much. So that was a really, I would say that was one of the most profound moments during the session, for sure, for me. And the realization that he really does want to take those things from us, those weights that weigh us down. And I think I started by saying that I'd come in with a real heavy heart. I really had a lot of heaviness and depression and condemnation were the things I was struggling with. And so to be able to release the weight of that, even in just the door closing portion and the breaking soul ties portion of the appointment, was huge for me. I mean, I literally felt like a huge weight was lifted off my chest. In fact, I went home that night, and as I was going to bed, I was talking to my husband about it, and I said, I can't believe it. It's like somebody has removed a 7-ton elephant from my chest. I can breathe again. And it had been a really long time since I had felt felt that way. So anyway, that
praise
was,
God.
Oh, yes, glory to Jesus. That was just such a relief and such a blessing and a gift. And so, yeah, that was a big part of it. And then, do you want me to keep going? Are we still good on time?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay.
You're doing
okay.
Great. Go
okay.
ahead, Elizabeth.
Okay, you just let me know if I'm talking too long. So that was a huge highlight. And that, and then the Lord was really faithful to show me some pictures during that time, too. That's one of the ways that I know he communicates with his people differently for each person, and one of the ways that he's often talks to me is through pictures. And so he gave me some beautiful pictures during that time, too, that have not only were not only healing in the moment, but have been kind of like anchors to hold on to going forward, and to just remind me to stay in the truth, which I think is a huge part of,
yes.
For me anyway, maintaining my freedom is staying in the truth. And
yes.
Certainly I've had, you know, some of the old thoughts try to come back. I've had some of that happen, and those pictures, and they're based in scripture, and so I think that's what makes them powerful, is that the word is so powerful to help me stay anchored in the truth, help us stay anchored in the truth. So, yeah, so anyway, I would say a couple other key moments that I wanted to highlight were just the way the Lord was there in such a powerful way with his presence. I just felt him very close in that, and I think part of that is because Everett loves to worship during the sessions, and I think that's a beautiful thing. And wherever Jesus is lifted up, I feel like all kinds of amazing things happen. And so that was very much a special part of the process for me. I felt very safe. The whole time I felt very spiritually safe, emotionally safe in every way. And for me, that's really important in terms of feeling comfortable enough to bring, you know, so for me, deliverance is about bringing the parts of my life that are dark or not functioning the way that they're supposed to be into the light and saying, there's a problem here, there's an issue here. And at least for me, and I don't know if
Elizabeth.
It's like this for everyone, but I imagine so, for most of us, I think, and I'll just own it myself, in order to feel safe enough to do that, I have to be in an environment that's safe. And that's definitely what was created. And so I just wanted to highlight that because
that's
maybe
good,
others
Elizabeth,
out there.
You,
sorry, go ahead.
Elizabeth, you might also point out we got hold of kind of an unusual spirit. We run into death demons quite a bit, but you might tell about that one. It was kind of different.
Sure.
But more common than any of us have realized.
Well, that's what I'm guessing now, based on what we're discovering, I guess, together that the Lord is teaching us. So one of the main things that came up in the actual official deliverance part of this time was that one of the demons gave its name, which is, I guess, not that uncommon, but it's one I had never heard of before, had never been familiar with before, and it was specifically death of a dream, death of dreams. And, you know, now that I've had some time to think after the session, I find it really interesting because I am a dreamer. Like, that's one of the main ways the Lord speaks to me and has since about 2004. And for most of 2017, I have not had dreams, which is interesting. And so what we came to discover is that this demon is, it likes to steal not only those kinds of dreams, but dreams that have to do with giftings, and that one of its primary assignments is to block a believer's gifts. And that definitely has been happening in my life recently, and I'm not even sure how long. It maybe has happened for a lot longer than I think, and so, or thought. And so, yeah, that was a really surprising one to have come up. But I will say that since the deliverance session, I've been dreaming again. I mean, even at night, I've been dreaming
Praise
again.
God.
And even our children have been having more frequent dreams as a result. So there's even been a generational effect In fact, that night, my oldest daughter came to me, and she had a dream. She didn't know anything about the session, but I have to tell this really quick because it's such a beautiful picture of what God did. She came to me the next night, and she said, "Mom, I had a dream about you. You came into my room in this dream in the middle of the night, and you told me to look in the mirror and to examine my forehead and see if there was a mark on my forehead, because if the mark was there, then I couldn't have dreams." This is what she's telling me the next night. And so then in the dream, my daughter says to me, she's telling me this, "Mom, now you need to look in the mirror and see if that mark is there." And so I looked in the mirror, and sure enough, she said in the dream, that mark that would have kept me from having dreams was not there. So I don't know if that makes sense, but basically what the dream was saying was that mark on my forehead that was the sign that I could not dream was no longer there. And she had that dream the night after my deliverance session.
Wow.
So I just felt like that was a huge confirmation of what God had done. And when I got home and told my husband about what had happened, he opened up his devotional to show me that the reading for that day, which is one of the main ways that the Lord speaks to him, it was all about how dreamers never die, about how the things that God puts in our hearts, he is jealous over and guards and wants to ensure that those things come to pass. And so even though I wasn't aware that this demon was active in my life, because the Lord is so faithful, when I took the step of obedience to make the appointment, he revealed the thing that was in operation, blocking my giftings and keeping me from being able to walk fully in the gifts and the callings and the dreams that he's put not only in my heart but in my children, which is huge.
Yeah.
So I'm just really, really thankful. Really thankful for that.
Yeah. And that demon talking through your mouth, Elizabeth, it was there by satanic assignment, I remember, as we interrogated it. And it was there to block your gifts. And it gloated over that. So praise God. Elizabeth, are you feeling better these days?
Well, the light's still on here, but maybe we lost might have lost coverage here on the phone. Sounded like a loss of service there.
I'm getting feedback too. I'm hearing everybody's voice double.
Yeah, so I think
kind of an echo.
Yeah, man, I think we I don't know if Elizabeth was on a cell phone, but we've lost her service or her signal here. Powerful testimony.
She was on a hard line.
Okay, powerful.
She was on a landline.
Powerful testimony.
Yeah, that was great testimony. It just shows again what our Jesus will do for us in getting our lives overhauled so we can get on with our lives and use our gifts.
You certainly hear the excitement in her voice, and just that's just awesome, the testimony of the dream there and their daughter having it, and then the witness there of her husband. you just can't really think, look at that and say, well, that's my own imagination,
right?
Or and you had those three types of witnesses. Something that she had said that really stuck out with me is she talked about how comfortable and safe she was, and that seems to be a real key when you're working with someone at deliverance, is not to have that judgmental spirit with them. They have reached out, they've humbled themselves, they know that they have sinned and had things and problems in their life, and they don't need somebody to sit there and judge them. What are you going to do that for?
Amen.
Just as we read there in Corinthians, where Paul says, "Hey, that's already punished enough. Let's work on getting past this. Let's work on them getting forgiving and walking on that new path that Jesus wants us to be, as that new creature, that new creation that's there." Elizabeth, if you're out there and you're listening and you hear this, thank you so much for your testimony. It was just a fantastic.
Yeah.
You can hear the excitement in your voice. Praise God that it was the generational part with off your daughters was taken. I don't know if she said daughters or daughter. Just a fantastic, fantastic testimony. And I'm going to, Pastor, I do believe you sent out a email. Was that twice that you had that spirit pop up in a week?
Well, yes, I ran into it in another deliverance after that, and that was interesting as well. So that spirit may be a lot more common than we realize when you think about it. That sounds like the enemy wants to steal our dreams, you know, and when a person doesn't have any dreams, they just kind of bog down.
You know, I'm kind of thinking of another point in time where the enemy tried to steal a dream with Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph had dreams of great things that was going to come, and maybe that was the spirit that stirred up his brothers. Who knows?
Yeah.
Because the enemy definitely tried to come in there and steal that dream, and well, we saw that our God worked all that out for good. Of course, they didn't have Joseph didn't have the access to the cross that we do, but he's definitely definitely a good lesson in his life of staying true. Obviously, a great lesson of forgiving. I sit back and think if he had not forgiven his brothers after his father had passed away, just how bad things probably could have gotten just for the entire nation of Israel. And so it is an awesome story there, forgiveness, which personal forgiveness keeps coming out in Scripture over and over, that need to forgive yourself, too. And that's that great thing about being out there with the ministers that Everett has and is trained and they'll work, is that there's such a non-judgmental spirit there during that time, because they're there to help and deliver people, not to browbeat them, not to pick on them, not to make them feel worse, but to get those spirits cast out of them. So the lies that are being bought into, the lies that are being told, just like what Jason was talking about, that lie being, well, you're not good enough, you're not this, you're not that. That's the enemy coming in there. The blood of Christ makes us good enough. That is what makes us perfect. And the enemy comes in there and steals and says, no, you're not worthy, you're not this, you're not that. And he starts hearing it. Sometimes it's so convincing, it's you think it's yourself telling you that. I know it was that way with me many times in my life. So just two great testimonies. I'm sure for the most part, Pastor, you hear those time in and time out over the past plus years.
And yet, Brother Ralph, those two testimonies are typical of what's going on in the body of Christ today. And again, most Christians, probably 90% of the Christian body, never gets focused in this area that's called deliverance and the casting out of generational spirits and spirits that are there by satanic assignment to block a Christian's life and their gifts. And then doors, getting those doors closed, like unforgiveness, that's one of the doors, and others. It's very frustrating for us to see this work constantly and help people and their lives turned around, but think how many are out there that will never get the opportunity to get this kind of ministry. But that's all we can do, is to keep trying to share it, and a certain number of people will rise to it.
Amen. And again, that website is deliveranceusa.com. The book that Pastor has written is called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which can be made available to you at Scriptures for America. And I do believe that we're out of time. Is that correct, Richard?
That is. We're winding down. Thanks. Great program, gentlemen.
Yes. Good evening, gentlemen.
Blessings to y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case.